Okay, so we are in the last third shir of this series of the Haftarah of Parshas Pinchas. And we spent the last two shiurim just going through the text, addressing some major points. What seems to be the theme, what's going on, the main story of the Haftarah? In like one line. What is it?
Drama.
Drama. Lots of drama. Okay. So what you're saying, a replacement of Elisha replacing Eliyahu Hanavi. Okay. So remember, it was a response to the events at Har Carmel. Eliyahu flees for his life, and is seemingly definitely condemned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something he said. He asks him a couple times, Malachapo, what are you doing here? And Eliyahu keeps just speaking about how he was zealous on Hashem's behalf, and then he is replaced. And of course, we spoke yesterday about what it might mean, the kol dema madaka, that Hashem is found there, not in the ruach, not in the rash, not in the eish, and the kol dema madaka is where Hashem is found. And we explained it, seemingly referring to the events at Har Carmel being not the ikar in Avodas Hashem. Okay, so now we have to figure out why the Haftarah of Parshas Pinchas is indeed the Haftarah of Parshas Pinchas. Now, the Haftarahs were picked out. It seems to be that there was a little bit more. It used to be a little bit more freestyling with Navi, for the Haftarah than it is today, right? That's why some in Hagim have different Haftarahs for various things. I think it's because earlier there's certain things you could read, that you could not read for Haftarah, but you had a little bit of free reign. But for the last, I don't know how many years. Probably 1500 at least, everybody reads this one for Parshas Pinchas, when Parshas Pinchas is not after Shavuot Sabbatamos. So what is the connection? Why has this become the Haftarah that we read? What did the Rishonim, if not Chazal, see in this Haftarah that says, oh, this is the thing to read Parshas Pinchas? Right? The Haftarah is supposed to mirror the Parsha in some way. So what's that prism? How do we understand that? So there are going to be some superficial answers, and then we're going to try to get a little bit deeper. Yeah. You want to start with the deeper?
I would say deeper one. I mean,
well, let's start with most superficial.
Most superficial.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
So does anybody know that? Right? There's an opinion in Chazal that says that. I think it's the most well-known opinion of Chazal, of Eliyahu's roots. There's a machlokas, it's from God. A couple of Binyamin, a couple of opinions in Midrash Rav, Midrash Tanchuma. There's a Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer that says that he is not, he's just from Levi, but he is Pinchas himself. And it's quoted by the Radak in Yud Zayin and Ralbag there. Heavily defends this and supports this. Eliyahu Hanavi is Pinchas, according to that opinion in Chazal, and that is, I think, the most accepted, not in Chazal, but the most accepted, at least nowadays. So that would be an answer. Now, obviously, that can't be the answer, because there are many prakim and many stories in Tanakh, in Navi, about Eliyahu Hanavi. So it can't be like, okay, well, this is Parshas Pinchas, and no, this is Parshas Pinchas 2.0, because Eliyahu Hanavi. No, it could have been any story. It could have been Har Carmel itself. That's a great story. And you can't tie in a knot. We'll use that for Kisisa, because there are Haftaras that we actually repeat. In fact, a couple of the them coming up after Tisha B'Av, some of the Haftaras of Dinachamta, of consolation from Yeshayahu, are repeated from earlier in the year. Okay, so what's deeper now? Yeah. Okay. Why?
Because he's sin and he sees something wrong, so he does what he does to take care of it. And Kanokinedi kills them, and then he gets, everyone's crying out, Ben Pusi's dead, this guy, and everyone makes fun of him. you know, to the extent of wanting to kill him, and he's kind of like, what the heck?
Okay. Okay, so I'll agree partially. I'll say, first of all, definitely in his response, he says, but right, Vayomar, Kano ki neisi la Hashem elokei tzvakos. I have been, right, double lashon of zealotry. And what do we have over here? The second pasuk, Parshas Pinchas, Hashem says, Hishivas chamasi me'al b'nei Yisrael b'kanoas kenasi b'socham. Oh, because, right, he, what's the translation over here? Kanoas kenasi? Because he zealously avenged my vengeance among them. Ah, so the same thing. A double lashon of kinna in the terms of zealotry. So that makes sense, right? So that it's exactly the same. Right? Anybody still have anything else to add? Yeah.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
If you are very similar, but I would say at the end of it.
Oh, good.
Both stories, Pinchas is, you know, great as well.
Okay, perfect. So that's a major problem, actually. Right? What's your name?
Oh, not that.
Not done. So what Nathan's saying is actually a major problem with that approach. Yes, okay. So we have over here a zealot, right? Somebody acting zealously on Hashem's behalf. We see the same lashon, of a double lashon of this kinna, this kanos, but, and it could be, there's according to opinion Chazal, it's actually the same person, right? Pinchas Eliyahu living forever. But it's actually very different. Because over here, Hashem saying, Pinchas, oh, he acted zealously on my behalf. It's amazing. It's incredible. Thank you so much. You're a Kohen forever. El Yonav, he comes. Hashem says, Malchapo, what are you doing here? He says, oh, I've been very zealous for you. El Yonav, what are you doing here? I've been very zealous for you. Okay, you're fired. So, very different. Also, it happens to be that this story, meaning it's true, so maybe great stories of zealotry, but that would be Har Carmel again. It wouldn't be the after party. And the biggest problem of all, is what's Parshas Pinchas about? I'll tell you what it's not about. What Parshas Pinchas is not about, if you were asked to do a book review, or give a summary of Parshas Pinchas, I'll tell you a big problem. I'm your teacher, and I ask you to write a summary of Parshas Pinchas, and you just tell me all about the great acts of Pinchas' zealotry, and he didn't care who it was, and she was a princess, and he was a nasi, and Pinchas didn't care about that, and he killed him anyway. So what I tell you, I know you didn't read the book, you only read the first page. Because no more than 9 psukim in this parsha, it's a long parsha, no more than 9 psukim in this parsha, that's a stretch, speak about Pinchas and the zealotry. In fact, the Maisa itself happened in last week's parsha.
Yeah, so the same thing with the Avtar, they were saying that it should be about Har Carmel, but the story also happened last week, so it makes sense for, it's talking now about that.
Okay, good, very good. So you're saying, no, this is also the after party. Yeah. Okay, that's true.
The after effects are very different, but there's their reason.
Okay. So all right, for sure. And that's ultimately what we're going to get to a little bit. Right. So Benji is right that both the parsha and the haftarah are the after party of acts of zealotry, though the response is clearly very different. But also, even if you say that, and if you say, oh, I have a pshat why it's different. Why this zealotry is different from this zealotry, but then you have to realize that how much of Parshas Pinchas speaks about that? 9 psukim. What are the other topics in the parsha? So then there's a mitzvah to antagonize Midian because of what Midian did to us. They caused us to stumble in our avodas Hashem so that they can kill us. So we have a mitzvah to antagonize Midian, that we can't quite have peace with Midian as we are allowed to have with most other nations in the world. Then it goes on, there's a census, right? After there's a magefa, many people died. 24,000 people died because of the terrible acts of Zimri and Cusbi and the others with the Midiani women, the Moabi women. So after that, there's a census to count the Jewish people after the magefa, who's left. It's 2 opinions in Chazal. It could be they're counting who's left or counting who's going into Eretz Yisrael. And then it gets into Moshe saying, Hashem, we need someone, right? I spoke about this at the orientation, right? Moshe asks Hashem, please point somebody in my place. He says, I don't worry, I'm going to choose your student, Yehoshua. And then what happens after that, the rest of the parsha, long? Karbanot, right? Karbanos, all the karbanos, the karban talmid, the karban musaf of Shabbos, the karban musaf of Rosh Chodesh, the karban musaf of the regalim of the other yom tovim. So this doesn't have anything to do with Pinchas, right? It's called Parshas Pinchas, but only the first 9 psukim are have anything to do with Pinchas. Okay, he's a kohen, so he brings karbanos. Okay, shkaya. But what does it have to do with everything else? Right? This Haftarah is supposed to really encapsulate the entire parsha. Now, some people would say, no, it ends there. Yeah, there's a couple of superficial connections. But I've learned and studied enough Haftaros to know that there's always a lot lying beneath the surface, and it's really more all-encompassing. Yeah? How? Yes, explain. This you're saying this is all an effect of what Pinchas did?
Yeah, I mean, okay. We never have been able to compare it to Charlotte
and Gitta. Okay, so you're telling me that, like, oh, it's all like kind of connected to Pinchas, so you're justifying the name Pinchas, but not the Haftarah choice, really.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Pinchas, instead of running away, kind of took action again, right? Like he went in, and that's one reason he gets rewarded, and maybe it's showing the effects of his reward, and now it's showing the alignment between the Torah and this week's parsha is because it's showing this is what the effects would be when you take that stand, when you try for it, and this is the effects.
Okay, so again, so you're also very nice. You're justifying the name of the parsha being Pinchas, which machlok is whether you need justification or not. But you're justifying that. But not it's not saying why the entire Haftarah really speaks to that. I'll take one more point, and then we'll.
And then we'll be able to report, we'll have the after you bring the coin and the aftermath of what you do, you bring the karbanos and use the whole thing to do. But like the Haftarah deals with, we just had someone who's like amazing zealous and unprecedented for Hashem, and then he has a completely different aftermath.
Okay, right. So everyone's just been saying the same thing, which is basically that no, the Haftarah does connect because the entire parsha is really about Pinchas. Even if only looks like the first 9 psukim are, the entire parsha is about Pinchas and the response to his act of zealotry, and therefore really all of that is encapsulated in Haftarah as well. Okay. And we still have to explain the Nakuda, which is different between the zealotry of Pinchas and the zealotry of Eliyahu. We'd have to explain that. So what I want to suggest is that I think everyone here picked up on that we need to figure out what that difference is in the zealotry. And I think it all is going to go back to the called Mamadaka.
Why is Eliyahu called zealous? Didn't he wait 3 years? Wasn't it 3 years? I know it was for a purpose. He did it on purpose. But he waited 3 years to offer.
Because he had a showdown and slaughtered 900 people in a half hour.
Instead of big action, zealotry means, from what my understanding, zealous means at the moment, it's Jesus.
Well, I don't know if he was. I don't know if it was a premeditated. 3 years that he said, "Okay, I'm going to do this."
He himself has been zealous.
He waited on purpose because they needed to feel the effect of having a drought for 3 years, and they're so desperate that finally.
That he was planning on doing the showdown for 3 years.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Could be. I think what we mean by zealotry over here is an act of. A little bit of a controversial act, very often with great violence out of great love for something greater, in this case, God. So what I want to suggest is that really everything is going back to the Kol Dmamadaka. As we spoke about the other day, the Kol Dmamadaka is telling us that Hashem is not found in the Ruach, in the Rash, in the Asian. It's not the big things that Hashem is on. Hashem is not found in general in the act of zealotry. Now, there's a time for zealotry. It's an important thing. That sometimes when push comes to shove, you have to stand up and say, Hashem, I love you so much and I'm going to do anything for you. There's a time for that. We do have such a concept in Judaism. There is a concept of wiping out Amalek. There is a concept of you know, dying al kiddush Hashem. There is such a concept. But it's not really where the majority of Judaism lies. Right? So there's, you have over here Pinchas. And what happens with Pinchas? Pinchas he does this amazing act of zealotry, and then we learn about more zealotry. We learn about antagonize Minyan. When you're fighting against Minyan, be Pinchas forever. Antagonize. Go against them. Don't make peace with Minyan because they're going to make you stumble. So you have to be a zealot in this regard. But then there's a shift. And what's the shift? The shift is a shift to, but that's not where all of us stand. So now, let's take a look. There's a magefa, the magefa is done. Hashem was zealous also. There's a magefa, Hashem was a zealot. And then Hashem says, okay, now let's calm down. Let's do a census. So we know, what does it mean when Chazal, according to Chazal, when there's a census? What's Hashem trying to say when he counts the Jewish people? Three words. What's Hashem trying to say when he's counting the Jewish people? I love you too, Benjamin. I love you. He's trying to say, I love you. If Hashem counts the Jewish people, he's saying, I love you, I care about you, I want to see who's left. Hashem doesn't need to count, but that's right, we know this, Chazal, right? It's in Shemos, it's every time Hashem counts the Jewish people, Chazal tells us, you check Rashi right there, it's because Hashem shows us he loves us. So Hashem just was a zealot like Pinchas, killed 24,000 in a magefa, and then Hashem says, okay, let's count, let's do a census, let's count each individual and see their value. And it's, by the way, not just Pinchas. It's not just the zealot that I love. It's every single Jew. It's not just Mr. Eish, Mr. Rash, Mr. Ruach, Pinchas. It's every single Jew, every Kol Mamadaka that I care about. And then we go on to, of course, this is also another point, Moshe being replaced by Yehoshua, right? Elio being replaced by Elisha, Moshe being replaced by Yehoshua, possibly for an act of zealotry that Moshe performed in Parshas Chukas, to some degree. That's for a different shiur. But he's being replaced. And then what does Hashem say? Don't command me, Moshe. Right, this is what I spoke about orientation. Don't command me, Moshe, about my children. Don't say, okay, we need a new leader, a leader, a leader, a leader. You know what a leader is? You know what? A leader is Rash, a leader is Ruach, a leader is Eish, a leader is Har Carmel. Do you know what every single Jew is? Called Mamadaka. The leaders. It's all about the leaders. No, you don't look at the leaders of Judaism. That's not what it is. I mean, of course we look at our Gedolah. But it's saying that's not like where Judaism is. I mean, that they're the ideal of what the Torah is supposed to look like. But how we're going to be judged as a nation, that's every called Mamadaka, every individual in the census. And then we get into Karbanos. Karbanos is, right, it's, you know, just, there's an order, there's a set thing, it's nothing so surprising. Though I would even suggest further, the first things that are mentioned in the Karbanos, Karban Tamid. Then Karban Musaf of Shabbos, then Rosh Chodesh, then Regalim. Because, it could be one thing in showing us, there's a concept, it's Hadar V'Sheinu Tadir Tadir Kodim, it's a halacha principle. That things that are Tadir, that you have more often, they take precedence. So the Karban Tamid goes first. What's the Karban Tamid? Karban Tamid is every morning, every afternoon, day in, day out, kol d'mamadaka, nothing fancy. It's not Shabbos. It's not Pesach, right? Pesach night, there's such an excitement. For Shabbos, right? Really, Shabbos is holier than Yom Tov, right? We know that? Shabbos is holier than Yom Tov. Why don't we feel like that? We have Shabbos every week. Shabbos is holier than Yom Tov. In another year, we could discuss the relationship between Shabbos and Yom Tov, Shabbos is holier. We don't feel like that. Why? Because we're Rash, Ruach, Eish people. We don't believe in the Kol D'mamadaka, but Shabbos is holier. And in a sense, in some regard, the moments of Tefillah are just as holy as Shabbos during the week. A Karban Tamid, that could be even greater. That's the Kol D'mamadaka. Someone has a good davening on Shabbos, but not during the week. You have to work on that. That's something that we have to believe in. And I think that's one of the messages in the Karbanos and throughout Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas, this theme is that we start off with zealotry, and it's beautiful in its place and in its time. There is a time and place for zealotry, but in Judaism, it's very limited. We don't have that so often. We have it at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, and there is a good thing, and it is praised when it's done properly. But the rest of the time, there has to be a census counting every single Jew, showing love for every single Jew. A seder and stability of the korbanos, korban tamid, first and foremost. Korban Musaf of Shabbos, Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, not just weekly, monthly, not just monthly, annually with the Yom Tovim. And when we get to the Haftarah is that message, that Eliyahu Navi does Har Carmel. Ah, oh, what a zealot! Amazing what you did for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem is so happy. Thank you for what you did for our Carmel. You stood up. It was scary. You had a showdown. You slaughtered 900 false prophets. Perfect. Now, go back to Klal Yisrael. Help them out. Lead them. Malach HaPoelio, what are you doing here? You did something incredible. You shook it up at Har Carmel. Now go lead them. Go teach them. Inspire them. They set up a chavrusa with every single Jew. He says, I've been zealous for you, Hashem, and I want to be zealous again, but they're just trying to kill me, and they have forsaken the bris. He says, I know they have forsaken the bris, says Hashem. I know they did. That's why we did Har Carmel. That's why I did that miracle. That's why we had a Horasha. That was the Avera Lishma. We did that. And now, let's rebuild Klal Yisrael. Malach HaPoelio, what are you doing here? Go back, go do a census, go count who's left. Go teach them korbanos. Go teach them about davening shacharis and mincha, and then musaf on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and the Shlosh Regalim and the Yom Narayim. Go do that. And Eliyahu says again, Hashem, I've been zealous for you. And Hashem says, it's not all about zealotry. We can't have that all the time. Elisha, you're going to have to step in Eliyahu's role. And this is according to the Zohar, it's right down. This is going to be part of why, who comes to help us always now. Right, he was very zealous on Hashem's behalf, a little bit of a misbalance to Klal Yisrael, and Eliyahu Navi now goes around. Right, he said they have forsaken your bris. Who shows up to every bris? Eliyahu Navi. It's part of it. Right, it's brought down. That's the Zohar. Eliyahu Navi now, he's our defender because he's alive. He was incredible tzaddik on Hashem's behalf, but he had to do a little bit of a tikkun and stand up for Klal Yisrael and defend our bris and say, come to every bris meal and say, oh, Taki does have a bris. He does. I think we're a little over. We are. Sorry about that, but I'll take questions after. But that's the message. Of course, Chas Hashem to put down Eliyahu. We can only know this because we have the stories of the Chumash and the Navi to teach us that. And of course, we're zochah to have Eliyahu and Navi. May he be mevaser tov very, very quickly.